Well, good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Glad that you are with us. If you are visiting with us this morning, if you are our guest this morning, we are really pleased that you're here. I'm glad that you have chosen to be with us this morning. And there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. I invite you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love for you to register that you've been here with us. And there's a place there if you would like to be added to our email list. You can do that. Billy already talked about our Wiley Methodist app. You can also have our app downloaded. That's a free app. At the end of the service, I will be out in the foyer for a few minutes out there. Would love to meet you. You can bring that blue card with you, or you can just leave that in your seat pocket in front of you. And also keep our registration slips moving down to the end of the aisle. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 8. Are you guys out there today? It's like crickets, man. It's like crickets. Come on, man. You're going to have to pick it up a little bit. John chapter 8. A lot of, in your insert today, you can follow along with the sermon, but a lot of red on the insert this morning. A lot of red. This means these are the words of Christ, and all of God's word is the inspired word of God, but I especially like it when Jesus says something. And so we're going to be hearing from Jesus himself this morning. John 8, beginning in verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching..." Hang on a second. "If you hold to my teaching..." Is anybody listening? "You are really my disciples. Then, if you..." In other words, if you hold to my teaching and you're really my disciples, then that produces something. "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants." Do you realize how immediately they go back to who they are? He's not talking about that at all. "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Now, a slave... Now listen to this. "A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son," big S, in other words, he's talking about himself, "if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your truth. Thank you for your word. So now, Holy Spirit, come in power and authority, transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I get too much into the sermon, most of y'all probably already know this, but Cheryl and I have a new granddaughter. Woohoo! Yeah, go ahead and throw that up there, Lee. Somebody wake Lee up back there. There he is. Oliver is a big brother. Oliver is a big brother. And that happened on Tuesday. My daughter, I have one daughter who is rational, and she, you know, when she's pregnant, she asks for the drugs. And that's my kind of gal right there. And then I have another daughter who gives birth in a swimming pool in her bedroom. That's this one. Don't ask me, but that's the way that went down on Tuesday. So anyway, new granddaughter. So, all right, that's good. Sermon series. We get back to the sermon here. Sermon series, holding steady in uncertain times. Now, this is, I think, week five that I've been speaking on this issue, this series. Today's message is embracing truth, not feelings. embracing truth, not feelings. We live in a culture, I'll talk more about that in a second, but we live in a culture that that is all about feelings. And y'all remember the song Feelings? You remember that? Everybody said, Feelings. We're not going to sing that. Every time I think about this topic, that's what I launch into that song, Feelings. So, feelings are great. It's nice to be warm and fuzzy, but Jesus deals in truth. He deals in truth. Now, in Psalms, the psalmist in Psalm 25 says this, "Show me your ways, O Lord," which if to show me your ways means there's a way, the Lord has a way, and there's another way. Yes? If he says, "Show me your ways," then that by implication, that is also means there's another way. "Oh Lord, teach me your path." So the Lord has a path, and there's another path that doesn't involve the Lord. You know, you got to kind of unpack these a little bit. "Guide me into your truth," which means there's truth. What's the opposite of truth? Lies. There's truth and there's lies. "And teach me, for you, O God, my Savior, my hope is in you all day long." Truth, if you look at, and I've preached on truth probably several times over the years, but truth appears in the Bible 224 times. Depends a little bit on what version of the Bible, whether they translate it to be truth or not. But most versions, it's around 224 times the word truth appears in God's Word. Jesus himself said, "I tell you the truth," 79 times in the four Gospels. Now, we just read one of those times today. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth." Well, that means that, once again, truth is over here, and we got something else that's not truth. Jesus was all about truth. Why do you think, just a kind of rhetorical question, why do you think the Bible and Jesus talked so much about truth? I mean, it seems to be a big topic. I ran across this quote by Rick Warren. I want to throw that side up there. A lie doesn't become truth, wrong doesn't become right, and evil doesn't become good just because it's accepted by a majority. Amen. Did you know that? Amen. I love that. Rick Warren nailed it. And I would also say that not just because it's accepted, but just because it feels good, it doesn't. None of those things are true just because it feels good or it feels right. We live in a culture where we just navigate by feelings so often instead of being grounded in the truth. I ran across that quote, but the other night, this was, I believe, Thursday night, I woke up in the middle of the night. I don't know what time it was. It was probably about 4 o'clock in the morning or so, and I woke up, and I had this phrase running through my mind over and over and over and over and over. And I wrote it down because if I don't write that down, those kinds of things down, I forget by the morning. And this is what it said, this phrase going on in my mind. Engage with the culture without being absorbed by it. And that was just running through my mind over and over and over. It doesn't mean that we are supposed to seclude ourselves or somehow, you know, not we live in this world. I mean, we're in it. And the hope of the world is Christ. And so what I took that, I think God was saying, is, man, I want you to be engaged, but don't be absorbed into it. Don't become like the world. We should be different. We should be a peculiar people is what God's Word says. And I've said this before, but some of us are more peculiar than others. The ones who took offense to that, you know who you are. We are in a, man, I was talking with somebody this morning, and it's like there's things going on in our culture that 10 years ago, we would never dream that we were even talking about this stuff. I mean, sometimes I read stuff or I see something on the news, and I'm just like, what? Nah. That's an April Fool joke. They didn't really do that. They don't really believe that. They didn't really say that. They're not really pushing for that. It's staggering to me. And here, this on a lighter note, I ran across this little deal. Go ahead and throw up my dog picture. I love this. I don't know if you can read it. I'm not going to lie, I could use your help. But I'm also aware of the fact that I got myself into this mess. You see that dog? He's like wedged in, looks like a tennis court or something. He's wedged back there. And that's what I feel like our culture, that's where we're going, is we're wedged in there, and it's like, we're going to help me, you know, but we've put in ourselves in there. That wasn't as funny as I thought it'd be, but anyway. I'm not sure what's better, when I tell a good joke or have a good thing, or when it bombs and y'all think that's funny. I mean, I'm not sure which is better. So I want to remind you, at the end of the service, what we're going to do, I'm going to have a meeting and just kind of bring you up to speed on, in two weeks, the United Methodist Denomination is having a big conference that it's a big deal. And many things could happen there that change the future of our denomination and impacts our church and so forth. And I will be going over. I want you to be informed, and I want us to be prayerful. And I'm at the end of the service. I'll go out and be out in the foyer for just a few minutes and give everybody a chance to go to the restroom and kind of take a break. And then we'd like to come back in here. Try not to spread too much. Let's get close together where we can talk. But we'll be doing that right after the service. Anyone, you don't have to be a member of the church. Anyone is welcome to stay and be a part of that. We'll also be recording it in case someone is not able to be here today. We can get them a link to that. So let's talk about this whole idea of uncertain times that we most certainly live in. You know, and this is, just so you know, I want to be real clear. These issues are not United Methodist issues. They're part of our world, part of our culture. Everyone has to struggle with these things because it's just, you know, it's kind of some things are being slammed down our throats. And we have to not have a position is to have a position. I was speaking with someone just this past week, and I won't name the church, but another church. It wasn't a United Methodist church, and their denomination had kind of fought this battle a few years ago and ended up their denomination split. And I asked, what was their position? And this guy said, he chose to not speak to it. I mean, just silence. It's like, and I just want you to know, I'm not, that's, you know, that's between him and the Lord. But for me, I think that's irresponsible of me to not speak to it. I believe the Lord would have me speak to these issues. They're not pleasant, they're not fun, but it is what it is. So, during uncertain times, remember that sin enslaves us. And more personally, sin enslaves you and me. It's not like everybody else. It's like personal. Sin enslaves you. And this passage that we just read today, Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. They're not my words. They're his words. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, we don't like to talk about sin because the world would say, judge not, lest you be judged. I hate that. Because one abstract little passage, and they base a whole worldview and theology on one little passage. We judge all the time. How many of you have served on a jury? We're judging. We've presented evidence about a crime. And we make a judgment. This guy's guilty. This guy's innocent. This guy deserves 5 years. This guy, no, we should have probation. We're making judgments all the time in our culture. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So we understand that when we can talk about things in our past. It's like, let's just take a few issues. Like, I've known people who alcohol... they are slaves to alcohol. I mean, and if you've ever been there, it isn't fun. I've known people who are slaves to drugs. I've known people who are slaves to pornography. to lying, to cheating, to being dishonesty. I mean, just on and on. When we sin, that has mastery over us. And it stinks. It's not fun to have something that has mastery over you. Now, a slave, it says, so when we sin, we are a slave to sin. And so it says, okay, so if we sin and we're a slave to sin, then we have no permanent place in the family. What's he talking about? The family of God, the kingdom. If sin is our master, we can't be part of the family. Because you're either you're a slave to Christ or you're a slave to sin. You choose. Sin enslaves us. And when we are a slave to sin, we have no place in the family. Romans says it this way, for the wages of sin is death. So what he's saying is the punishment that sin brings is death. And I'm not talking about a physical death, because we're all going to, none of us are getting out of this world alive, but a spiritual death. We are severed, our relationship is severed with Christ when we are slaves to sin. So sin enslaves us. We need to remember that. Secondly, during uncertain times, remember that truth frees us. Is anybody alive out there? Anybody listening? Anybody hearing what Jesus is telling us? So during uncertain times, we need to understand sin enslaves us. Jesus and the truth frees us. We want freedom. Well, let me just read what Jesus has to say. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's something about truth that sets us free. Now, lies, we just determined from God's word, from Jesus himself, lies put us in bondage. Okay? Lies is opposite of truth. Truth frees us. Now, who is the truth? Jesus. I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, let's look at Romans 12. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So Paul is telling the Romans and telling us, he's teaching us that the patterns of this world, it doesn't mean everything in our world is bad. It doesn't mean that. But there is a lot of untruth in our culture. Always has been, but it seems like it's just, maybe it's just, I don't know, with the invention of social media and all, maybe people are just louder than they used to be with stuff. But I think we're also deteriorating. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, this sin that enslaves us. Don't conform to that, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we transform our mind? The truth of God. That's how we transform our mind. Then it says, so if we're not conforming to the pattern of this world and we are renewed by the transforming of our minds, then when that happens, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You ever, and I've said this before, you know, I've had people, and sometimes not even from this church, just people that I know that'll call me or talk to me or whatever, and they're somehow wanting me to, I guess they feel like if I can get a pastor to bless this, it's cool. But sometimes they'll call me with these things, it's like wanting me to kind of bless sin in their life. I've said this before, a few years ago, I had a guy, I didn't go to this church, nobody would know who I was talking about, but he called me and I knew him, I knew his wife, I knew his family. He was a prominent guy, and he called me and he said, hey, Jeff, I need to talk to you. Okay. He said, there's this girl at the office, and boy, I knew where we were headed. And I'm really tempted with this girl at the office. And I really don't, I'm not quite sure what he wanted me to say, but I think he was wanting me to say things like, well, do you love her? Or is she Is she pretty? Do you love her more than you do your wife? I mean, I don't know really for sure what he was wanting me to say, but here's what I said. Dude, run. That's, dude is in the Bible. I don't know if you knew that. I said, dude, run. And he had a very prominent position in our community with a prominent company and all this stuff and everything. And I said, I don't care if you have to quit your job, if you have to move to Alaska, run. And then I said, go home and love your wife. So the lie of our culture said, ask questions like, well, do you love your wife? Do you still love your wife? Do you still want to be married? Does this girl have more of your heart than she does? I mean, that's the type of questions that are asked over here. But when our mind is renewed with truth, we know, instinctively we know through the Holy Spirit, no. Stop. Stop that. Run. It's not God's heart for you. It's not God's will. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind with truth. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and here we go, perfect will. His will is perfect. Mine isn't. When I surrender to my will, problems happen. When you surrender to God's will, He always wants to bless us. He always wants us to have abundant life. Sin enslaves us, truth frees us. Which moves me down, and I kind of jumped the gun a little here. My third point is, during uncertain times, remember that Jesus is truth and that He loves you. Jesus is truth and He loves you. I was writing some papers for this, for the conference and this process that I'm in with the conference, and one of the things that I said was that Jesus, He's not, too many times the church and Christians, we portray God, He's like this great cosmic party pooper. Don't we? You ever heard that from a church? They don't quite say it like that, but that's the Revised Jeff version. But I'm telling you, that's sometimes the message that the church gets out there is like, God is this great cosmic party pooper and He wants to spoil your good time. Sin is fun. God is boring. That's the lie. But let me tell you, that is a lie. God's not boring at all. In fact, when I surrendered my life for real to God, man, the journey began, and it's been exciting. It's been a joy the whole way. The Son, Jesus, the Son, the big S, sets you free, and if He sets you free, you will be free indeed. There's nothing like walking with Jesus. He is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, and here we talked about this a while ago. If He is the way, then that means there's another way, right? He is the truth, which means there's something besides on the opposite end of truth. And He's the life. And there's something on the opposite of that. It's death. Jesus said it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this, our world, our culture likes this. There is a way that seems right to a man. And that's, there we go. Feelings. Come on, sing it. No, don't do it. There is a way that seems right to a man. What feels right. But the rest of that verse, second half of that verse, but in the end, it leads to death. I want to say this, and I'll say probably more, a little bit more when we have our meeting later. I'm a flawed man, just like you guys are. We're flawed. But I just want to tell you with all my heart, I want Jesus. I want Him to be pleased with me. I want to seek Him. I want to honor him. And when there, if and when there are any decisions to be made about anything, I'm on Jesus' side. I'm with him. And the way we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt is God's word. He's given, Carlene talked about it this morning. He's given us a love letter. Tells us how he feels about us. He tells us how to conduct our lives. He tells us what leads to life and what leads to death. He tells us. And I'm with him, with Jesus. I'm with him. And I hope that we all, I think I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, we don't have a choir, but if we did, y'all would be it. And I really believe that y'all are out there with me. And I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful that you guys are that kind of church that's seeking God. You're seeking his truth. And we're just going to walk with him. Then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's it. And I wish that I could stand up at General Conference in 2 weeks and just quote that verse. Guys, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about seeking his heart for our future. If you would just bow your heads with me. Father, again, I ask forgiveness when we go our own way. I ask, Father, that you would forgive us for trusting our feelings and our instincts, our gut, rather than seeking you with all our heart. Father, transform our minds. Transform our hearts. Make us like you. Help us to hear your voice clearly during uncertain times. We need you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.